Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo, or any day, because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Would die for CJ. Everyone knows that.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Real or fake coming up here in about 20 minutes. Do that every Tuesday. Should be fun.
We don't discriminate.
We do not. That came from. We don't discriminate.
You know, fake, natural, whatever.
Not talking about fun bag. Ain't talking about sweater puppies.
We're not?
Not talking about.
I've been thinking that has been the basis of this segment from the start.
Oh, man.
All right, my bad.
Hey, you talking about Jack and Jill's?
I am a breast man.
Oh, I always have been. But I do like a little ass.
Oh, yeah.
I like a lot of ass. More ass than you do.
That is fair.
Yeah. The amount of times Tyler has hit me with it, that's just too much ass. Take a walk on him, man. Like, what you mean that's too much ass, man?
Well, I mean, he just
attack got his, that ass.
Got his preference, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't, you know, I'm not doing it. I'm not.
I'm just saying it catches me off guard. That's too much ass.
Get me in trouble.
There is some, yeah, there is some, like, I understand there's some too much asses, like, you know, Lizzo from several years ago. Like, I can understand some too much ass.
So like, she's a fine
Tyler
girl.
Tyler tell you Megan Thee Stallion's too much ass. And that catches me.
I never said that.
Ah, but you've never said that. But there have been some in that range that that's too much ass. Like, Lord, and you know you agree with me because you would have come out strong. Strong with it. No, I'd never said no. Nah.
You bring up good points.
There is some Megan Thee Stallion type of ass that's just too much. Obviously, just admiring. You know.
Yeah. But appreciate a woman's beauty.
Yeah. All right. PFF, they do this every year. They put out their quarterback tiers to start the season. And these are the tiers, right? I'm not getting to the tier fives and the six. By the way, Anthony Richardson has slid himself into tier six. they took his ass up out of the Tier 5 is the young guys that we don't know a lot about yet. They took him on out of that young guys we don't know a lot yet to starters that could be replaced in Tier 6 is where they took Anthony Richardson. But Tier 1 is elite. Tier 2 is high-end starters. And then there is two parts to Tier 3. Tier three is solid starters who have flashed high-end play. And then tier 3B is starters, solid starters that need more help. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, where do you think C.J. Stroud landed? Do you think he landed in tier 1 elite? Do you think he landed in tier 2 high-end starters? Do you think he landed in tier 3 solid starters who have flashed high-end play? Or do you think he landed in tier 3B solid starters that need more help? This is what they said about him. Stroud represents the cautionary tale of Jaden Daniels. Spoiler alert, they had Jaden Daniels listed ahead of him. A stellar rookie season followed by a sophomore slump. That said, he finished 2024 strong and delivered in the playoffs, leading the Texans to a wild card win over the Chargers. One glaring issue remains, his pressure to sack rate. After taking just 39 sacks as a rookie, that number ballooned to 63 in 2024, a problem that must be addressed moving forward. Text line coming in, tier 2. Text line coming in, Clint, 3A. Text line coming in, 3B. Kick Rock says 3. He is in tier 3B. Solid starter that needed more help. C.J. Stroud is the 14th overall ranked quarterback, and the other members of the tier 3B are Jordan Love of the Packers, Baker Mayfield of the Bucks, Kyler Murray of the Cardinals, and then these may be tough to swallow. Dak with the Cowboys, Tua with the Dolphins, and then
Cowboys.
Trevor Lawrence of Jacksonville. Those were the others in the 3B tier. Clint, when you read that and you see how they have them specified, did you agree with the tier 3B for C.J. Stroud?
Well, it depends on what they mean with need more help. Like, does that mean the supporting cast, the play caller, they just need some more help? They're just not there yet. They just haven't graduated yet, or they're not good enough. I need to know exactly what that is. I would have C.J. Stroud more in the solid starters who have flashed high end play. But I'll be honest with you, I'd have several guys in that 3B in the starter that have flashed high end play, not just C.J. But I, with that said, just for the sake of the conversation, I can see where PFF could get here. I mean, they are an advanced stat. Flip every single stone, take everything into consideration. When you're having a quarterback conversation like this, I think you do view the quarterback through a lens of, yes, he didn't have that much help, but you know, there is a certain responsibility of the quarterback to protect yourself. So all 63 sacks, those aren't all on the offensive line kind of deal. I could see where they got here. I don't agree with it, but I could see how they got there. Yeah.
I can see him around. So like the tier three, someone just texted in, who's on the tier three? Solid starters who have flashed high end play. Cause when I hear that, that seems like that describes CJ.
Agreed.
Right. Year one, this is a guy who finished top 8 in the MVP as a rookie. That's high-end play. This is a guy that outdueled Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Like, he showed high-end play. Won a playoff game as a rookie. I mean, he was Jaden Daniels, who, by the way, Jaden Daniels is checking in Tier 2 high-end starters, and he is the 6th overall quarterback behind Jalen Hurts. So, I mean, he's checking in there. He sounds high end. And then last year, obviously, you know, that to me is the best way to describe. He was solid last year to me, right? He was solid last year. And maybe you even add a little bit more to him with the pressure that he was under. So maybe it was a little bit more than solid last year. But he feels like a tier 3A, which has Jared Goff at 9, Geno Smith at 10. I'm going to tell you right now, I'll take. It ain't even got the age for me, Clint. I will take C.J. Stroud over Geno Smith every single time. I like that one. I don't see how Geno Smith lands at 10. Brock Purdy at 11, another one that I would take CJ over, but Brock Purdy has played well. I don't know what last year's season did for him, but he is at 11. So those are the three that are in tier 3A, as someone texted in to wonder. Listen, it's weird. I agree. Like, to me, I think he is in the Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield category. But I don't know if the wording describes him. Like, I would, if you were to tell me right now, offense, like, who are the quarterbacks you would say? I think he's ahead of Trevor Lawrence. And again, the Dak Prescott one is weird too, because the last time Dak Prescott played a full season, he was healthy. He finished number two in the MVP, and he led the league in touchdowns and yards. But
there it was, glory hole.
But I still think at this moment you would put him behind him. But it makes sense to me that C.J. Stroud would be in the same company of Baker and Jordan Love.
I'd even throw Kyler in there.
You would throw Kyler in there?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy that we won Rookie of the Year, didn't he? Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, someone kick rocks just said Stroud and Kyler are not in the same tier.
Yeah, look, I mean, based on what we've seen, I would beg to differ. Yeah, I mean, I think Kyler's played some really good football. He's had really bright moments. He's had some not so bright moments. I mean, if you want to take the whole drama behind watching film, not watching film kind of thing into effect, okay, whatever. If you don't like Kyler, cool. I don't necessarily – I've never been a fan of Kyler's demeanor and kind of his
– body language.
I've never been a fan. But the reality of it is, man, you watch him play. Little dude is electric with his feet. He's had super bright moments. You know, that there's a lot left to be unsaid, or, you know, like there's a lot I think he's got to prove. I think there's a lot C.J. Stroud has to
probably
prove.
Probably hasn't had the best around him all the time.
I think Jordan Love is the same way.
Yeah, C.J. And Jordan Love, to me, feel like they are.
I think Dak is unfairly categorized here.
I think he's too low.
Yeah, I think Lawrence and Tua have somehow jumped up into that. You know, solid starter that needs more help.
I couldn't put Lawrence and Tua over Dak.
I think Baker's tapped out right there. Of look, he's a solid starter that needs help. I think that's where he lives. I think he's tapped out, and I think Love, Kyler, and C.J. Stroud got some climbing to do.
All right, well, let me kick it here with you. Judging by kind of how they are putting categorizing these tiers, for the Texans to have the kind of successful season that they need to have, or that you would want them to have to get to the places that they want to get to,
mm-hmm.
What level of tier does C.J. Stroud need to be in this season with this particular team, knowing, like, obviously, like, they've got an amazing defense, so maybe he doesn't have to be up there in tier one with, you know, Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and Lamar and Josh. But where does he have to be? What tier? What level does he have to be?
I think he has to be a high end tier two.
Tier two. Where I think he was last year going into the season. I think that's where people had him last year going into the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, hell, he led the league in touchdown interception ratio, rookie of the year. Yep. Yeah, I mean, one team took a team from the bottom of the barrel to 10 wins in the second round of the playoffs. Yeah, I think that's fair.
By the way, that's Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, and Matt Stafford, and your favorite, Justin Herbert.
Yeah, he's got to be up there. Like to me, he's got to play that level of ball. Like this team, even if the thought of the season is play defense and run the football, like it's you're going to do more of what we've seen here before. You're probably going to win the division, and you're not going to really be competitive in terms of winning a Super Bowl. I said it before, I'll say it again. I don't care how good the defense is. This team is only going as far as C.J. Stroud can take them. If you think they're going to line up and be conservative on the offensive side of the ball.
Against the teams you got to beat.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. And so I think on top of that, I think he's got to do more with less. As we've said before, or I've said before, I think the one thing that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans is asking him to do this year is he's got to do more with less. Unless they are just this run dominant team that all of a sudden can run the hell out of the football.
Oh, come on, Clint, that's not it.
Well, I'm just I agree with you,
at least their personnel right now does not. Their personnel doesn't even say that they want to play that way.
Well, he's gonna have to do more with less in a big, big way, and I think he's got to play some of the best football he's ever played in order for this team to really compete in the AFC and really compete for a Super Bowl, and. So I would say he's got to be, to your point, to the topic here, I think he's got to be a high-end starter, tier two.
Yep, I think that's the point that I would agree with on that. I don't think he got to be, you know, MVP candidate like, you know, those guys, those top four. But it does seem like when you look at how the roster is constructed, how much they're laying towards him in terms of responsibility, like they're going to there. It feels like, Clint, there's going to be some, hey, defense, hold us in. And hey, man, we need you to go make a couple of plays.
Yeah.
And you like, and also don't turn it over. Don't put us in bad spots. Like, we need you to go make some plays here and there, and don't turn it over, because we need you to make up for maybe potentially the lack of run game, potentially young receivers kind of needing to get up to speed with things and new pieces. So I do think he's going to have to be through the tier three and into the tier two, because I think they're going to ask him to do more on the offense.
Yeah, look, I agree wholeheartedly. To me, Ron, it's pretty simple, man. I mean, it's you. If they ask CJ to be Superman, which I think here's the problem. The expectations for a lot of fans are CJ to go out there and be one of the top quarterbacks in his league and to light this thing on fire. And to repeat to some degree, lead the league in touchdowns and lead the league in the fewest interceptions, right? And I think we got to temper our expectations.
But do you think this team, the way it's constructed, they need year one level CJ for them to really get where they, you think he needs it? Because he was really good.
Yeah.
He wasn't just really good for a rookie. CJ was really good.
I've said it before. Hell, yeah. To me, it's one of the best NFL seasons that I've seen. Hell, I mean, by anybody, much less a rookie, that was impressive.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, he was right a lot. I mean, he was right a lot, man. The thing is, Larry texted me and has a question of do more with less, right? Year one versus year two. Year one, you go into that season, you had, a boatload less than what you had last year.
More comfortable.
Right. Last year, you had a five-headed monster, supposedly, right? And you did more with less. You overcame offensive line problems. You overcame injuries at the wide receiver problem. Your quarterback played a smart brand of football and protected himself, getting the football out. Now, was that him or was that the play caller? Was it the plan because he was so young? I don't know. But that brand of ball leads to fewer turnovers, and he played out of his mind, right? Year two, the expectations was you got all these weapons, all these bells and whistles, and you got this highest-paid left tackle and yada, 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 and the quarterback had a better supporting cast. Right, this year you have less, and you're going to be expected to play better, even though you've got less talent around you. That is less money invested in the offensive line, but sacks have to come down. A tight end that doesn't appear to be able to pass protect or separate from defenders that was part of your five-headed monster doesn't appear he's that guy anymore. You got to make it work. Got a bunch of young guys behind him. Right, Nico Collins is your go-to wide receiver. That's your dude, and a bunch of rookies behind him with Christian Kirk. You go from Nico, Tank, and Diggs to Nico and Christian Kirk and a bunch of rookies. That is a step down. Joe Mixon. Now you can say because you drafted a fourth round running back that you got help in the running back room. I think it's risky to depend on that. But you got Joe Mixon and then a hope and a prayer on a fourth round running back. So I think he's got to do more with less. He's got to play a better brand of quarterback and ultimately fix a bunch of the problems with his communication as well as his execution. It's on him.
All right, coming up, it's Tuesday. That means at 3:25, a little real or fake. We'll do that coming up next on The Drive.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive as we continue right here. It's Tuesday. We do a little real or fake. If you are not used to this, shame on you. If you are, you know the drill. If not, we say a statement. I say a statement. You let me know if that statement is real or fake. You can jump in with your thoughts on YouTube and Twitch or on the text line as well, 713-572-4610.
Is this real?
No. It might be, or hell, it might be fake. But let's do a little real or fake. All right, real or fake, the Texans will add another real contributor to the running back room. Real or fake?
Real. I'm going real.
Now, not your opinion, Clint, but I'm talking about the opinion of them, like a real contributor.
No, I'm going to go real because, I do believe that John Lopez in the crosstalk before the tush-push thing got started, I do believe that there was a point made that I can see definitely being the identity. Run the football, play really good defense, and ask CJ to make a couple of plays a game that make a difference. Otherwise, protect the football, play a defensive brand of Texans ball. And I think the only way, I would argue that the only way that you even proceed forward as a team, if you're really trying to put your best foot forward, it would be with another running back. But I think with that said, I think you got to get somebody else. Even if it's just in a backup role to where if Joe Mixon goes down, even if it's not a 1-2 punch, even if it's a backup role, regardless of how you define that role, a real contributor, yes, I think it's real.
Yeah, I'll say fake, just because I'm not going to say they're not going to bring anyone else in. I mean, when I say real contributor, I could see them bringing somebody in that doesn't dress every week. You know, that's somebody that may only be there just because of injury or something. And the reason being for me, Clint, is I think they really, really, really love Woody Marks. I think they gave up a good amount, a third-round pick, especially for those guys. Third-round pick in next year's draft to move up in the fourth round of this year's draft. I think they really looked at him and made him a priority and went and got him. And I think, for me, that's the reason why. I think they really like Woody Marks, Clint, and I think they – I don't know that they want to put a lot in front of him to prevent him from maybe, developing or getting touches on the field. I do. I do. I think that's the 1-2 punch. I think they can see, like, all right, here there's Mixon. We'll get him in. And I don't think they just use him as, hey, man, he's just a receiver out of the backfield. Or let's just use him like we did Dari Ogunbowale. I do think they view him as a third down back, but also a backup running back that may get, I don't know, 8 to 12 touches, and that's in the running game and passing game a game. So I'll say fake just because of their belief in Woody Marks.
I hope you're right. I hope Woody lives up to that immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I just think it's there. Like, I'm not saying they don't need it, but I think it's they really, really like him. All right. Real or fake? It may be hard to admit, but 35-year-old Jose Altuve is no longer an all-star caliber player. Tyler, I'll let you lead this one off. Real or fake? It's hard to admit, but 35-year-old Jose Altuve is no longer an all-star caliber player.
Oh,
real
that, or is, fake? That is big-time fake. Big-time fake. Way too quick on that trigger to make any kind of bold claim like that on the GOAT known as Jose Altuve. Fake. For now, not saying it can't be something that comes true, you know, in
you're
the
you're not ready
come,
to get there yet?
But right now, hell no. Hell no.
Painful to say it, T, but it's real.
Oh,
wow. Really?
When your own team...
You are fake news.
When your own team says, wow, hey, man, we are overly concerned about your limitations defensively. We're going to throw you out in left field.
That's not a bad point.
When your own team does it, I think the league's going to have a hard time saying, yeah, that guy right there is an all-star.
Well, yeah, we say we've clearly understood they've given up on one, at least on one side.
You're wrong.
Defensively.
I think defensively, I believe that he was at second base. You're at a spot where if you put up Jose Altuve numbers at the plate, you're going to be in an all-star game every year. They done moved him to left field and admitted a decline in his play in the process. Yeah, I think it's real.
I don't accept that. Nope. That's the GOAT. That's the GOAT right there.
Yeah, he is the GOAT. This is hard.
What she said.
Obviously, it's not great timing right now, the way he's swinging the bat. But all obviously, earlier in the year, he was hell the only thing you had going at times, and he looked like his bat was still there. I'm gonna say real because the defensive side has dropped so much. Hell, I don't even know what position to put him in the.
It's not ideal
for an all-star. To put him in.
DraftKings doesn't never know either night to night, by the way.
Oh, I bet. And
I never know where I'm going to find him, under second base or under outfield.
But to think, like, with his, like, we would all agree he is a below average fielder, especially being put in left field.
Oh, yeah.
And now not playing second base consistently.
I would say that he's been surprisingly not as bad as I may have thought he would be so far in left field for the Astros. I don't think he's been – I wouldn't, like, classify him as overall bad in left field thus far this season.
Yeah, so, but below –
but below average.
Below average defender.
Yes.
Hey, that Joker got to hit. Like, he got to hit big time to be looked at an all-star caliber. And Mania, I think he is
– his power.
I still think he is going to be a good hitter. But I don't know if he's maybe moved down from one of the greatest of all time to a great hitter, elite hitter to a great hitter to now maybe a good hitter. So I would say, someone text in, Jose Altuve had 200 hits last year. Ain't no way he's finished. I don't think he's finished, but a all-star caliber player, I'm not sure if that is steel. If that is still the case. All right, real or fake? Real or fake? It is much better to be cold than it is to be hot. Real or fake? It is much better to be cold than it is hot.
Fake.
That is the realest thing you've ever said.
Just in general?
Yes.
It's much better to be cold than hot?
Yeah, no. You'd rather...
No, I would rather be hot.
Because I can't walk around the Houston streets naked, but I can pile on some clothes if I'm feeling a little chilly.
Yeah, I'd rather be cold, man. I just...
Yeah, that's easy.
I'm trying to think of the scenario in which I'd rather be hot.
The question isn't, do you want to pile on clothes so you can be? The question is, do you prefer to be scalding ass hot or freezing ass cold?
Freezing ass cold's the answer, then,
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, I'd take cold.
Take that attitude out of here, out in the heat with you, friend.
I'm out of that.
The heat, man.
Give me the heat, baby.
You're the one of all of us. You're the one who gets burnt the hell up, I'd imagine.
Give me the heat, baby.
Tyler does too. Give me that cool.
I hate the summer, man.
I can't. You hate the summer. You've been in Houston your whole life.
Exactly.
I can't sleeping. Oh, I can't do that. Sleeping hot? Oh, that is. There is nothing worse. Almost.
I agree with that. AC2? Now, if we're talking about sleeping, I agree with that.
Like, yeah, but
what do you set your AC to sleep? What temp?
No, I'm 70 or 71.
Whoa! I got it. Where I am right now, I have others that have outruled me. So I think it's on like 72. 71, 72.
See, I wouldn't be able to sleep in that temp like you're saying.
This has come from somebody who, by the age of 14, I had a box fan in my room the whole way. Really became a problem that first week of college in my dorm room. And old Aaron from Union Star, Missouri was my roommate. And he pulled up. He said, man, I don't think I can do this.
I'm telling you, man, I need a freezing ass cold in my room to go to sleep.
I said, man, I got to hear the noise. I got to have it. Yeah, I can't. Someone text in, no, give me cold. I can't even do nothing when it's hot. I'm out on the heat, man. That's the worst. All right, coming up, Tyler had an interesting poll question that he put out that I think got me to thinking about something a little further with his poll question. We'll do that coming up next. Now I can dance with that party.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Now some people, this is a little much. I keep my house at 66. Anything higher than that, especially during sleep, is unbearable.
That's what I set it to go to sleep.
66?
66 degrees.
That's a little strong, man.
I'm a 69er, man, until my wife was...
Oh, me too, brother.
I'm talking about my AC, Tyler. Oh. My wife, she's one of them turn it up during the day and turn it down at night.
It's really about the 69.
And we started freezing the babies out, man.
Well, I got them. I got three hot-ass dogs.
We get down to 70, man, and I got one of my little girls' room gets ice cold.
Yeah. Nick's does, too. Front room. The front room by the big windows.
Yep.
It gets cold, too, but...
I think my bitches have a big thing to do with, rolling with 66 to go to sleep each night.
I bet they love you. Now we're getting really down to why they don't like the heat outside.
And Megan is Megan good with it, or she just rolls with it?
Oh, yeah. No, she's on board. She can't sleep if it's... She usually likes it closer to 67, 68.
I mean, you got some big comforter? You get your comforter? You get your big goose down comforter in the bed or what?
Oh, yeah.
To the point, as you're talking about, I would rather be at a baseball game when it's 40 than at a baseball game when it's 98.
Oh, no,
10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Every time. Oh, God, there is nothing. Oh, yep.
Oh, yeah.
Much rather.
Man, get you a little shade, man. You'll be all right.
There ain't no shade, man. Not for no 98.
Hey, go ease on down to Academy. Yeah, you know, all the canopies, the umbrellas, the tents, everything you need. I think that's got nice drinkware. Keep your drinks cool.
I think this is just all of a sudden come from your time at Wichita Falls that got you there, that has you in the heat. Now, after you spent that time there, none of this feels anything to you. Give me an F40 degrees. I'll go out there with, like Tyler, go give me some whiskey or something. Let that go on down.
Living.
I'm telling you, I'll go out there, boy, give me a cold 40? Beer.
You ate 8 degrees from freezing.
Yeah, give me a cold beer. No, that still don't work. And 98, that still don't work.
You can drink them real fast in 98.
Yeah, I know you can drink them fast. I'm still struggling. That right there, boy. Yeah, I mean, not listen, I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't like, you know, 7. But I mean, you know, I'd much rather be, I'd take it in under 40. I'd rather be 35 than 98.
Oh, no.
So what y'all's home AC on, like, during a normal-ass summer day in Houston, like, middle of the afternoon, like, in your living space?
71. Wifey turns it up to 73. To
make 71, 72, yep.
About where we are. Yeah. We just turn that thing down and that.
Just keep it on there. Keep it on there. Yeah, I can't mess with that. All right. Astros. Astros fans, our guy Tyler Milner threw this out as a poll. You can still answer in this poll. I just retweeted it. You can go to T-Mill Real Deal and find it. He said Astros fans approaching 1/4 of the way through the season, whose strong start to the season have you enjoyed the most? Hunter Brown, Josh Hader, the closer, Jake Myers, about him, or Jeremy Pena, who has gone off. Right now, Hunter Brown is running away with it, 64%. Mm. And then Jeremy Pena at 17%, followed by Jake, and then Jake Hader at 6.5%. Answering that question, you can jump in on this 713-572-4610 YouTube and Twitch. Of those four, Hunter Brown, Josh Hader, Jake Myers, Jeremy Pena, whose strong start to this season have you enjoyed the most? Tyler, hell, you put the poll. You can't answer your own poll, but who are you most excited about?
The way I phrased it that you just laid out there so beautifully, man, I think for me it's Jake Myers. I really think it's Jake Myers.
You do have a little gleam in your eyes when you think about about Jake.
Yeah, I mean, just whether it's the, you know, the fact that it's a big time turnaround for this dude as far as what he does with a bat in his hand. I don't know. I think it's Jake Myers for me. It's been a lovely sight.
Yeah, man. For me, it's Jeremy Pena. It's Jeremy Pena for me. Jake is the most surprising. I flat out, I'm not even like Josh Hader. Hell, you better be doing that. Like, I'm not even looking at Josh on this. You know, that Josh is in the move of, hey man, hey, congratulations for doing your job. And then Hunter Brown, I'm not shocked by Hunter Brown. Hell, his second half, not even second half, from like June of last year, Hunter Brown was pitching like a front of the rotation guy. Now, obviously, he has taken this up to like maybe best pitcher in baseball levels of how he's pitched now. But for me, I didn't know that Jeremy Pena could do like could be this and be this. I would have never at any point guessed that we would be at May 20th. And that Jeremy Pena would be this team's best offensive player and most important offensive player. And damn it, it ain't even close. That was never anything that I could. Huge. Now, I didn't think Jake would hit 300 by May 20th. But I would have never thought, like, this dude has, like, they would be 10 games under 500, I feel like, if Jeremy Pena wasn't there. He is. So, for me, it's Jeremy Pena.
I've got to go with Jeremy Pena as well. I want to go Jake Myers because it is, I said from jump, and I did not believe it would happen, that if Jake Myers made some kind of leap that was substantial, it would change this lineup in a major way, and I think it does. But it, right now, for me, it doesn't. She hadn't done enough to trump Jeremy Pena. Jeremy Pena doing enough to where Jose Altuve goes in and says, hey, I'll give up my leadoff spot. And then he goes up there and he absolutely rakes in the leadoff spot. Now we get to take into consideration the speed on the base pass and step or leap in a positive direction, in a sense of you know where he was last year, particularly in the regular season, where he was the year before in the regular season, chasing the low and outside pitch, just being so damn like just predictable of what you were going to get from him, man. It just seems like a totally different dude. Like we could be looking at the Astros leadoff hitter for the post Altuve years. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like for a long, long time. And so I've got to go with Pena, given the fact that he's jumped all the way up into the leadoff spot. Listen, but Jake's impressive, y'all.
I think Bobby Witt Jr. is the best shortstop in baseball. And Jeremy Pena is right there with him across the board. Jeremy's got a better average right now, right there in the same ballpark with on base percentage. a little bit behind Slug. He's got more home runs. Bobby's just crazy. He's got 18 doubles already, but in three triples. But besides stolen bases, like he is in the range of playing in the same vein as the best shortstop in the game. And he's as important right now to this team as Bobby Witt, with Yordan on the shelf and Jose Altuve struggling with an extended period, not to mention Christian Walker as well struggling. This is a guy that started off, what, sixth or seventh in the lineup, you would have thought? Remember, we were talking maybe he should be behind Cam Smith with Cam Smith's, you know, spring training. And now he is the most important hitter you have in the lineup. Jeremy Pena has been nuts. And by the way, with this, Clinton, as I look at this question that he put out, some people rolling in, Pena and Myers seem to be the popular choices here on the text line. It does feel like right now, and we'll see what happens with Yordan and Arrigetti get back and they get more healthy.
Yordan.
But it does feel like, Clint, that they need all four of these guys to stay in the range of the level they're playing right now. Like, it feels like, boy, if Jeremy Pena slowed up, that'd be a problem. If Jake slowed up, that'd be a problem.
I screwed up.
If Hunter went through like, it feels like they need all four of these guys to play at that level.
Well, that's another reason why I went with Pena in the context of Tyler's poll on Twitter. To me, like I said to start the season, like, there's two guys that have to swing the bat out of their mind for the Kyle Tucker, Bregman departures to not feel as heavy as they actually are, and that is Jeremy Pena and Yainer Diaz. One of them is damn sure doing it, and Yainer's flirting with coming out of it. So, this is really good to see. And on the Jake Myers front, man, I mean, it changes the lineup if this dude can continue to do this.
It changes the lineup if he goes back to being the Jake that we've seen.
Right.
You know, I mean, they, like,
I screwed up.
Like, yeah, they can't have a 212 Jake.
Agreed.
Right, like right now with this group. So shout out to all of them, but they probably need all of them guys to jump in.
Appreciate you bringing up my poll, man. That was a good discussion.
Are we talking about a penis, or are we talking about the real poll?
Oh, like, pervert. About the Astros players,
I think it's
man.
Very Come fair. On. I think it's very fair to me to wonder.
Let's play some more real or fake.
Text line coming in. Lose 260 and the show will be better. I think it just got worse since you started listening, Dexter. I'm sorry.
It's your fault.
That was on me. Text Rocket. That's on me, man.
260. Lose 260.
Yeah.
Hold on, so.
That's on me. I did not mean that. I did not mean that.
Bistros ain't loyal.
Clint, what you got coming up in the floor?
Well, the
well,
meetings, the owners' meetings, spring meetings have taken place. And one big time rule change has been voted on, folks. And this is going to be very, very interesting. Stick around. You're gonna want to know what we're talking about, and we'll give you all the details.